Hello, everyone. This is Ladies Number One Detective Agency Clearing the Paranormal. This is episode 15. And I am your host, Demi Clark. And I'm joined today by my two co-hosts, Janet Graham.
Hello.
And Bill Johnston.
Hello.
And today is April the 11th, 2024. And I just want to just quickly mention that there's been a gap in episodes as my mom was ill and then she passed on. And in fact, today, this episode is going to be about my mom's passing and all the phenomena that happened just before and after she passed. So the day that my mom actually went into the hospital is pretty interesting in retrospect. And when I think of all that had to happen to have me there, it's clear to me that spirit was guiding me. Tuesdays are generally my days off. And in this story, the dates matter. So whatever will be, as it will become apparent later in the story. So this Tuesday was February the 27th. And I was just over at Bill's place dropping some stuff off. And when I walked in, it smelled a bit off. So I thought, well, I'm just going to light two candles in two different rooms. And I moved from one room into the other. And I noticed the candle I had lit in one of the rooms had blown out. And I thought, well, that's strange. So I lit it and went back into the other room. And that candle was out. So now I'm paying attention. And I look at the time and realize I have to hurry as I had a video meeting at 2 p.m. So I go in the other room to go blow out the candle. And what, it's already blown out. And I really needed to get moving. So I just kind of pushed all that in the back of my mind. But I was a little bit curious because I was wondering, oh, I wonder what's going on at Bill's house. And then I got home and I decided to do my video call in my living room. It was pouring down rain and I didn't want to be down in the lower floor office. And I had a few minutes, so I decided to call Janet as I wanted to book some time with her to do some client consults. And as we chatted, I just looked out the window and I opened the curtain to look out at the rain. And then I was absolutely stunned and a bit paralyzed because I saw the ambulance and it was at my parents' place as they lived right next door. So it took me a second to kind of register. And when it did, I said to Janet, okay, I have to go. I hung up on her and I raced over and I found my mom. I found out from my dad that my mom had had a stroke and was not going to make it. She had hours, days to live. I then spent the next 6 days at the hospital with my dad and siblings and my kids and my grandchild. And my mom was nonverbal, but she could make some noises. And for the first few days, she was able to squeeze our hand. Bill was out of town at the time, and my brother and his wife were in another country. Every effort by my brother to get home was fraught with barriers. It took him 4 days to get to Toronto. And then the big question was, well, how do they get back once they land in Toronto? And as it turned out, Bill was landing just an hour before they did. And then Bill, like, if you want to just kind of fill in your part of the story there.
Yeah, so we landed in Toronto, but I had to drive out towards Newmarket to pick up my truck. So talking to May's brother back and forth a little bit, I said, okay, well, I could get my truck, come back to Toronto, pick you guys up. And they decided, no, we could probably meet you in Barrie. So we arranged that and I drove up to the en route in Barrie, waited there. And within a half an hour, they were there. They caught an Uber. So from there, we proceeded to go home. North Bay, and as you travel through North Bay, the bypass, there's five sets of street lights on the highway.
It's amazing, and you know that.
Every one of them was green, right to the hospital. So, and we got to the hospital in good time. I mean, it was 1:30 a.m. I think.
Yeah.
When we arrived, and by this time, your mom had expected to pass before then,
mm-hmm.
right? Anyway, we got there and your brother and his wife were able to get settled in, even though they had been traveling for 4 days, so quite exhausted. And then I made my way home from there.
Yeah, and I mean, just as kind of a side note, what I had done is I reached out to the Reiki community when I found out my brother was having trouble getting back. And I just quickly, on a piece of notepaper that was stuck in the hospital room, just scribbled out an affirmation and sent a picture of it around to everyone in the Reiki community and asked whoever was available if they could send Reiki to it. And also, when you were coming back with them, I did the same thing, so that, the whole purpose of it is to clear all the energies around it, to put everything in place, all by divine right order, if it's meant to be, for the highest good, in order for you guys to get back in time. So, in the meantime, that night, we were worried my mom wasn't going to make it. Because she was actually, the doctor is pretty surprised that she had made it as long as she had. And that evening, I was with her. Everyone, my dad and my other brother, was sleeping, and she stopped breathing a couple of times. And I was like, "Oh, mom, like, just kind hang on there, because Keith is almost here with Heather and Bill too." And in the meantime, I was texting Janet because I knew that she'd still be up in the wee hours of the morning. And I was telling her what was happening with my mom. Of course, my dad was having a difficult time, and he didn't want her to leave. But anyways, I was giving her Reiki and asking all her guides to come in to protect the space and help my mom with the pain that she was having. Bill and I had already done safe passage for her before this night. But I was texting Janet because a couple of times she all of a sudden opened up her eyes, sat almost right up, and was pointing and looking beyond me. And I could feel the energy of the beings in the room. So I'm texting Janet. So, Janet, maybe you can just pop in there and share what was happening when people do that.
Well, when people do that, what they're seeing is their family, their relatives on the other side, and the people that are coming to get them. They're saying, yay, they're all excited. They're getting ready. They're having a great big party. Oh my God, you're finally coming home. So they're excited. And your loved one that's laying in that bed is like, oh my God, I'm almost there. So they're getting excited. They're seeing them. They're like feeling all that love that's coming from them. So the whole room will light up with love. And your mom was just in that moment, right? So it was so beautiful. And for you to be a part of that, what a gift.
Oh,
That's wonderful.
it was an amazing experience, and I actually could see the energy. It felt like I could see it. I could actually see like her part of her spirit leaving, because I think I was texting you about that as well.
Yeah, you were. And it's kind of like a bit of a wave, isn't it? Like a
Yeah.
little bit of a wave of energy, which is really cool. And then your son was calling you, your youngest son, right?
Yep.
And telling you about
He's
his girlfriend's grandpa that passed, and how maybe your mom and her grandpa might meet on the other side.
Yeah.
And I ended up having a dream the night before about the ocean, and I seen this huge, beautiful manatee. And there was another manatee coming from the left, coming to meet this other manatee. And it was so beautiful. And the emotion and the love that was just floating there. And then we put it all together as being grandpa coming to
To
greet your mom.
meet my mom. Because
Exactly.
my son was like, Because he was actually at the funeral in the Northwest Territories at the time that we were in the hospital. So he was really sad that he couldn't be with his grandmother. But he said, we were talking, Agnes and I were talking, and we were saying that her grandpa and my nana are so much alike. They'd probably be best friends on the other side. And then you told me about the dream, and it's like, oh, it must be them.
Yeah.
So. And then, and like I said, Bill and I, like we had done the safe passage for my mom. And I don't know, did you get anything? I can't remember exactly when we did that. It was a bit of a blur.
I think I did. I think if I remember correctly, maybe we both agreed that she had her soul had passed or moved on. So it was just her physical body that was left there, really, by that point.
Yeah, well, we ended up having to do it twice, but we'll get to that part. So, and then my dad, of course, was worried that she would go before my brother got there. And it was really interesting though, because the nurses were actually talking to us, and it's actually written up in what they give to the family, that the person who's passing actually knows who they have to wait for, and they'll hang on for that person. And they also, if they need a person to leave the room, if sometimes they hold on till the person leaves because they don't want the people in the room. So I've heard lots of stories around that as well. But I thought that was really interesting that even the nurses were talking about that and sharing that, because I was in a room full of people that were not very spiritual. So anyways.
Well, in that ward, those the people working up there would experience all kinds of things. I mean,
Oh yeah.
death is an everyday thing for them to deal with. So I'm sure they see lots of interesting phenomenas around that.
Yeah. And on her door, so the way in the hospital they denoted that a person was in palliative is they had a purple butterfly on the door. So that was interesting, which will be interesting a bit later on as well. So the evening of February 28th and 29th, that's when she all of a sudden sat up, and she actually startled me when she did it the first time. Then I understood what was happening. So I bet I couldn't I don't know, how do you share that with people that don't understand what that's about? So anyways, so once my brother got there, we thought for sure, okay, she's seen everybody she needs to see, everybody that could call and say their goodbyes, that happened. So now she can leave. Now it was safe for her to go. So 2 days had pa passed, and we're just perplexed. Like, what is it? What is there left to do for her so that she can go? And sorry, I'm just reading my notes here because I just put a note in here about my son, but we'd already talked about that. So, but it really warmed my heart up that my youngest son was so open to that, like he was open to the fact that there is life after death, and spirits can meet and have fun afterwards. So the day she died, I was at the hospital, and we played some Neil Diamond. So that was because she loved Neil Diamond. And then we had some lunch, and I decided I was going to go get coffee and tea for everyone. And I called Bill on my way down to get it. And I said, I'm just stumped. Everyone who should be here, that could be here, who could call, et cetera, what is keeping her here? I know my dad's having a hard time, but why isn't she leaving? So I asked you, I said, well, can you just do safe passage one more time? And then we, because we were both stumped, and I headed back upstairs when I had the tea. And when I walked in, my siblings and my dad were around the bed, and they said she just passed. So I got to her side and I kissed her and I said goodbye. And then suddenly she started breathing again. And it startled me because I went, oh no, like, I know it's a funny, it seems like a funny thing to say, oh no, but it was like, oh, like maybe she didn't pass. And then she was gone. And I felt her spirit leave. And I texted Bill right away. So when I texted you, Bill, I didn't find out till later when I saw you, but you had some pretty interesting things happen.
Yeah, well, you had called me on your way down to pick up coffee and tea or whatever. And when I got off the phone, I said openly, I was sitting there and I was playing some music and a Neil Diamond song came up. I was just playing some 50s, 60s classic music and I was sitting in my chair and kind of staring out the window and I said to myself, or said to Beth in my head, like, what are you waiting for? And out of the corner of my eye, I saw a shadow walk past my old 1966 Thunderbird that was parked out in the yard with a cover on it. And I did the double take because I seen this small black figure go past. And then was not a minute after that, you called me and told me your mom had passed. Oh, and prior to that, I asked the question. I said, like, Beth, what are you waiting for? And I heard this clunk in the backside of my house. And there's nothing back there to move. I'm the only one in the house. There's nothing loose, nothing to fall off. And I didn't even get up to look because I thought, that's interesting. What's she up to now? Right? Whatever, I'm sure. My
Whatever
favorite
your
term.
favorite
But
term.
then I saw the shadow go to the corner of my eye. And then you called me like within a minute and said she passed. And I said, well, I just seen her outside, out by my car. So,
Yeah. And she loved those old classic cars, so that would make sense. And when you last time you took her for a ride for ice cream, she blew you a kiss. And then we had some friends over after oh no, so Janet, then I called you and you had an experience if you want to share that.
Well, I was at the Elks Club because once a month they have live musicians there. So, it's just people from the area that go and sing and play instruments. And I was sitting there and my friend was sitting beside me and I'm like, what the hell time is it? I was looking around because I couldn't see a clock anywhere, and she happened to look at me, and she opened her phone because I was thinking that in my head, and she opened up her phone, and I looked at the time, and then I get a phone call from you saying your mom passed, and she passed exactly at the time that I was looking at. What was it, 2:42 or something?
It was 141,
One,
141,
two,
141 or 241.
I thought it was 2:41.
Might be
Yeah,
241.
2:41. It was 14 something. Your dad was
Oh yeah, my dad was 41.
using military time or
That's
whatever you
right.
call it.
Yeah. So I thought, okay. And I just felt joyful for her. I felt happy. It's like, she's at peace now. And that, like, she was something else, because every time I'd see her, she'd just sit there and smile at me. And she'd have that look about her, like, I know what you do.
You can't hide from me.
Exactly.
Yes, my mom was highly intuitive. We'll use that word.
Very intuitive.
Very
Very
intuitive.
intuitive.
Yeah, and when I felt, I mean, of course, I'm sad and watching other people deal with the grief over her loss is hard, but I am so grateful for what I understand about life after death and where we came from, why we're here, and all of that, because I was waiting for that impact of her passing. But all I felt was a joy and a peace and a love I can't even describe. It's indescribable. And it was her spirit that I felt. And I thought, wow, like you are free, probably dancing up there. Anyway, so then we had some friends over after they came over to visit, and they had some experiences too, like their son and her husband. They were having, like, the son had a flashlight right at the same time, got so hot he couldn't even touch it. And my friend's husband, his soldering iron thing came on, wasn't even turned on. So it's like she wanted as many people around the circle to know that yeah, she was there.
Well, then she started hiding stuff from your dad
Oh
as
my
well.
God, that was
Don't forget to mention
hilarious.
that.
Go ahead.
Well, you tell the story better. You guys were looking for her wallet, right? With all her identification, her credit cards, her OHIP, all that stuff. So yeah, you take it from there.
Yeah, so I was helping my dad clean up upstairs, clean out some of her stuff in the closet, and organize some of her jewelry and stuff. And I said, "Dad, I said we're slowly eliminating everything, you know, that you weren't able to find." I said, "Except this wallet." And he goes, "Well, it's not. We got the wallet," he said, "but the cards are missing." And then he opened up the dresser side. The bed, what do you call it? Just
Nightstand.
not the
Nightstand.
nightstand drawer. And in the corner was this stack of cards in an elastic band. He goes, "There they are." So he takes them out and he goes through them and he's sorting them and figures out which ones he has to keep, which ones he can cut up and toss. And then we're cleaning everything up and taking them down. And he goes, "Where are the cards?" I said, "Well, I saw them up here." I said, "What did you do with them? Did you put them on your desk?" "No, we both searched the whole room. I even opened up the nightstand table and he looked, I looked, they weren't in there. Looked all over." I said, "Well, I don't know what you did with them, Dad. Look, I'll look under the bed." I looked under the bed and I took the comforter off and the pillows. I said, "Dad, I don't know what you did with them. You mindlessly walked off with them. You must have put them downstairs somewhere." So the next day, my sister-in-law was over at the house and he was saying, "Well, can't find those cards." So she said, "Well, let me go look." She goes upstairs, pulls open the nightstand drawer, and there the cards are. And then there were car keys that were missing. And, you know, yeah, it's like, "Dad, I gave them back to you. Now you're making me doubt myself. Maybe I hung them up downstairs." And then he found them in his pants pocket. How could you not notice in
Yeah,
this little?
in the pocket or the watch pocket,
Yeah,
the
which we
small
call,
pocket, or
yeah.
people think it's a change pocket. His car keys were in there, and it's a key fob. Like, how would you not feel that there?
Yeah.
But he had them for a week, right? And didn't realize that that's where the keys were.
And there was another key on it too. So it wasn't
Yeah.
just the fob with the key, because it's the kind of fob that, yeah, anyway. And there was a couple other things that went missing, but it was pretty funny. Yeah, and so the night that she passed, I went came home. I got home pretty late, and my daughter and my niece were sitting around the table chatting and having tomato soup and going through pictures and stuff. And my niece said, "You know, how you doing, Aunt May?" And I said, "I'm really good. I'm really glad because of what I believe, and I feel really good. I mean, I'm sad she's gone, and I know I'll miss her." And she goes, "Well, can you talk to me about your beliefs?" So I started to chat with her, and and I thought, "You got some special gifts, girl." But I couldn't say anything because I didn't know if she was aware of anything. And she said, "Well, I was talking to this medium lady, and she started telling me I had these like beings all around me, but I didn't understand what she was talking about. And she said that I could actually, you know, kind of predict things." And she started telling me what happened before my mom went in the hospital. and how she was, all these experiences she was having. And she was just anxious and upset. And she thought, oh, I should have been visiting my grandparents. And I don't know why I'm feeling like this. And then she got the text to say my mom was in the hospital. And I said, well, I know it's late, but I know this spiritual consultant that stays up late. I'm sure she could answer your questions. I said, how about we give Janet a call? So we called Janet, and Janet did an amazing job of explaining to her what her gifts were and what she could expect. And but then she had a great conversation with my daughter and my niece about when people pass and about what she was picking up about my mom. So did you have anything you wanted to share about that part, Janet?
Well, I just thought it was so amazing. Like your mom was so ready to go that I was able to channel her the same day that she passed. That's very rare. That's so rare, you wouldn't believe it. Okay. I think that's the one and only time I've t actually talked to somebody the day that they passed.
Wow.
But she was so willing. She so wanted to let the girls know that she was okay and that she was proud of them and that she loved them very much. And she wanted them to know that she wasn't in pain. Okay. And that's a big part of it, is letting people know they're okay. Because they go right into grieving. And I think a lot of us grieve because they're not around us anymore. We can't reach out. We can't go that little walk next door and see them and everything else. But the girls were really good about and very understanding about, the process and the need to be free. Because that spirit is so free and so lovely, going all over the place, and your mom was just celebrating with all her relatives. I tell you, that woman had her dancing shoes on.
It's funny you should say that, but yes.
Was partying. I'm telling you, she was partying, but she took the time to let everybody know that she was doing well.
And I think, when we talked about it, Janet, you were saying that because Bill and I did safe passage, you think that process allowed a very clear.
Very smooth, straight up. Yep.
So, what's interesting about the dancing part is we went over to see my dad one day. Bill and I went over, and he said, hey, I want to show you something. So did you want
Yeah, I don't remember. So he took us down to the basement and he goes, I fixed up this old record player because he has numerous ones. And it was an old record player.
to? It's a 78.
Yeah, and he had the 78 on there, and he said, I was playing it the other day. Beth was still around, right?
My mom was still around.
So he took Beth in and he played the 78, and I don't remember the name of the song.
Yeah, it was Doc. Was it Doc Williams?
I think so.
But he, what he said is he just reached into the box and just pulled out a
The
record. He
first
the very
78.
and put it on and started playing it.
And I think the song was about, I'm gonna miss you, or dance with me, or
Yeah, I'm gonna miss you. I love you. I'm gonna miss you when you're gone.
yeah. And I don't know if your mom wanted to dance
Yeah, she did.
and your dad went, no, because neither one of them are very stable. Anyway, he was feeling regret. I feel he was feeling regret. And I said, well, that you pulled that album out and it was telling you ahead of time, right? And maybe she knew as well. So he had,
It was the day before.
I would say that maybe he questioned his own faith when he took us down there, knowing that Amaze and I are spiritual. They took us down intentionally and told us a little story about the 78 record. So I think maybe he had, maybe a little sense of relief. And I talked to him briefly when I was leaving the one day, and I said, Because he said, you know, every day is tough. I see things that remind me of her. And I said, you know, but she's still here. I mean, she's still with you. You just have to remember that, right?
You can talk to her whenever you want. So, and then this is not the end of the story because then something incredibly cool happened. So that's why I was putting the dates down there of February 27th, 28th, 29th. So there was something actually happening on, let's just say, on the spiritual global aspects of things. As we go through this ascension, as we're going through these big changes, just because we think life is just carrying on as it always has, it's actually not, but we don't see actually see the evidence of it. But there was one day, it was a beautiful, you know, s the snow, we still had snow. I couldn't handle being in the house another minute. I felt like a kid who wanted to get outside and play. I just had to get outside. So I went up on top of the hill here. There's a trail I like to go on, and I just wanted to be alone and just enjoy the sunshine and the snow. And as I was jumping out of the car, I noticed that one of my students had called me and left me a message. So I listened to this message and it absolutely blew me away. And she was, and I hadn't heard from her in a long time, a couple of years, and forgotten that she actually had worked in palliative care as well as being a Holy Fire Reiki master. And she said, "I had the most interesting experience that I wanted to share with you." And she told me in the message. So I called her and I said, I'm just so blown away. Can you tell me what happened?" And she said, "Well, I decided to go visit my son, and I was north of Toronto, and I was teaching a lady there how to bead, and we were beading purple butterflies." I said, "What?" And this was February 28th or 29th. Oh no, it was the 29th, February 29th, because that's the leap year. And I said, "Are you kidding me? Purple butterflies, you're beating them? That's an unusual thing to be beating." And she said, "Yeah." And I decided to go outside because I could see this nest, and I was trying to figure out if a bird was just too early building this nest. And then there were two brownstone buildings, and between the brownstone buildings is an alleyway. So I glanced at it, and then I was looking at the nest, then all of a sudden I glanced back, and I thought, she said, "Oh, I thought they were putting up a movie set, because now between the buildings was all these beautiful pastel, it was like a wall of all these pastel colors between the two buildings in the alleyway." And then she could feel the energy of it, and she went, "Oh my God, I've seen my first portal." She said, "I don't know what else to call it. It was a portal." And she said the angelic energies coming from that were so unbelievable. And the message she got was that they were there to help people who were ready to pass on at that time. I'm getting goosebumps telling it. And she said the week before and the week after, she had quite a number of people pass on. And she just felt like this portal had been opened up to take all these people that were ready to leave the earth at that time. Oh, I'm getting emotional and even just talking about it. And at that 29th was the night that my mom was like pointing, sitting up and pointing at, you know, so she could see as well. And it was just a powerful end to this whole thing. Do you have anything to share about that, Janet? Anything you got around it?
Well, the one thing that everybody needs to know is, when you're in that state, you know you're going to go, but they're pr preparing you, right? They're showing you not to be afraid, that you're not alone, that look at, we're welcoming you. Look, the portal's opening. With the portal being open like that, it's like, look at everybody coming in, everybody coming home. Look at all the love that's there. And that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and look at all the signs that were pointing to everything.
Yeah.
That was so, I think it was such a beautiful thing that happened. You know, I mean, Everybody's going to miss her, but what a beautiful way to end your life.
Oh, and she was so surrounded, you know, like I was sitting in the room, and I mean, I'm sure this happens with so many families now that they when they allow them into the rooms, and you know, all the girls were giggling and laughing and teasing each other, and it was all happy, happy, you know, of course you have someone in the room that's you're waiting to pass, so the medical side of that was brutal to be a part of, but the spiritual side and watching it bring everyone together and hear such expression of love and respect for, oh, now I'm going to get emotional, you know, for her and the outpouring that came afterwards. You know, this is a, then you get to know that this was a life well lived, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you even had people that couldn't be there calling or Zooming, and you could put the phone to Beth's ear, and they could speak to her whether she could respond or not. For the most of it, she couldn't, but she could still hear them, right?
Well, they say the hearing's the last to go.
So
So,
that was nice that
yeah.
you could do that.
And she could make noises and stuff. And there was a couple of her really old dear friends that called, and she had tears. So that was, yeah, there's all kinds of ways. We just have to remember there's just so many different ways that we can reach out even if we can't be there. So,
But in the last probably 2 years of her life, right, she'd broken her hip, and
dementia.
then she developed dementia, so she wasn't very mobile and not able to do what she wanted to do, and
Yeah. She couldn't dance,
she couldn't dance,
which she loved to do.
your dad was totally dependent on your dad as well, right? But yeah, so I could see where she'd be very happy after she passed,
And the very
to be able
first,
to live again.
yeah, and the very first Reiki session I did after she went, I felt this beautiful light energy come in, and I went, oh, is that you, Mom? And then I went, oh, that's just wishful thinking. And then I got this like barrage of like, no, it's your mom. Like, it was so beautiful to have her there. And it was great to be able to give Reiki to her to help her with the pain and the passing and everything too. So, and I'm so grateful because everyone in the Reiki community, anyone that could, we're all sending Reiki to her. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing to be part of, but it was also really cool to see all the ways, all the mechanics behind it, of spirit putting people in the right place at the right time and helping people to get there that needed to be there. So,
Yeah, 6 days is a long time in palliative care, right?
Yeah, it was.
It is.
Any
But
last words, Miss Janet, spiritual consultant?
the most important thing about all this is showing you all the love that was there. The love is the only thing you take with you. It's not the money, it's not the things, it's the love.
A life well lived.
Exactly.
And she would just say, whatever.
Exactly. Whatever, Beth.
What about you, Bill?
Yeah, no, I believe. I mean, for the short time that I knew your mom, I did like her, and she was always pleasant. But I think that, yeah, she's a lot more comfortable now than she has been for
A
quite a
long
while,
time.
right?
Yeah, and I just wonder what her next adventure is, where she's going to be, and what her new purpose, and yeah, she might be coming back here to help. You never know.
I think she's going to be torturing your dad in the meantime, making him lose his keys and everything else.
Yeah, there. What did I say? I think Mom's playing some tricks on you, Dad. And you just kind of muttered, but yeah. And it just, you know, at Easter time, we were at my brother's place, and my brother and his wife got up dancing, and my dad did see something you had said to him. It must have sunk in because he goes, "Yep, you might as well do it while you can. You never know when you might as well do it in the moment because you don't know when you won't have that moment." So, yeah. Anyways,
Okay.
I hope that everyone found these stories enlightening, encouraging, and interesting. And we will say good night. Say good night, Bill.
All right.
Good
Good night.
Good night.
night,
Take
and
care.
thank you so much for joining us. And look forward to the next podcast of Ladies Number One Detective Agency Clearing the Paranormal.